Alle kijkers van Hour of Power, een zeer goedemorgen op deze eerste zonnige zondag in de maand mei. Hour of Power, de meest bekeken televisiekijkdienst ter wereld. En we vinden het heel erg leuk dat ook zoveel jonge mensen naar Hour of Power kijken op de vroege zondagmorgen. En het is de moeite waard, want in de christelijke titel spreekt dominee John Maxwell en sluit zijn serie over dromen af. En de oproep dit keer is: maak je dromen waar. En dat aan de hand van het leven van Jozef. En verder in de Crystal Cathedral veel muziek, prachtige koorzang en Chad Henning, straaljagerpiloot, die een boek schreef voor mannen over mannen die alles zelf in handen willen houden, totdat zijn zoon een ernstige auto-immuunziekte kreeg en toen werd alles hem uit handen geslagen. En hij vertelt erover in de Crystal Cathedral. En bij Hour of Power Nederland, Jan Korsta, een schilder uit Friesland, die in 7 enorme doeken de 7 scheppingsdagen heeft verwerkt. Die hangen nu in de Sint-Jan in Gouda, naar aanleiding van ons voorjaarsconcert. Iedereen kan ze bekijken, ik vertel er straks graag meer over. Iedereen van harte welkom bij Hour of Power.
Why did you come to church today? You know, I don't think you know. I think God brought you here for special reasons. Now turn around, shake hands with somebody behind you or next to you, and give them the blessing. God loves you, and so do I. For thousands of times I have said it. This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let's pray. Father, you've got a lot of things in mind. You planned this whole church service. The people who would be here. The singers, the spokespersons. The people in the congregation who will be praying for me, you know I need it. So we could spend the hour thanking you, Lord, but hallelujah. You are our Lord, and we are one of your favorite children. Amen.
Thank you.
scripture this morning is read from the New Testament, where Paul repeats his usual opening line. Listen to what Paul wrote. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all people, for the Lord is at your hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will bless your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Finally, to you, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Chad Hennings. Well, the best way for me to introduce him is to maybe just read a section from his book. He's got a great book, Rules of Engagement. Air Force fighter pilot with more than 40 humanitarian missions to aid the Kurds during the first Gulf War. Winner of the Outland Trophy as the best interior lineman in the country while playing football at the Air Force Academy. Wow. Husband, father, businessman. Well, before all of that, Iowa High School state heavyweight wrestling champion in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, only 30 miles from where I was born. Yes. But in his writing, he says, to all of that, for inside reasons, I felt isolated and alone. Welcome, Chad. I've never been more impressed with a body than I am with you. You're 6 what?
6 foot 6.
6 foot 6. Iowa born.
Corn fed.
Corn fed. A couple of Iowa boys here.
That's the, we both learned the great American work ethic there. That is true.
That's true. There is an American work ethic there. But you said you always felt isolated and alone.
One of the things that, the reason why I wrote that was in relationship to friendships. I had a lot of friendships, but I bought into that mentality that a lot of men in America buy into, is that we're meant, a true sign of success are those that are have bought into that John Wayne mentality, that to be strong, to be that masculine figure, you got to be battling the world by yourself. And we weren't created for that. We were created for relationships. And that was the reason why I wrote the book, is for men to realize that true strength does not come from being that Gary Cooper at high noon, standing in the dusty main street, battling your foes. We were created for individuals to come alongside us, to be wingmen, in essence, to help us battle, to stand shoulder to shoulder, back to back, and to be that spiritual army of God, that body of Christ that He is calling us to be.
You were a fighter pilot, right?
Yes, sir.
But aren't you a little tall to be a fighter pilot? I thought they had regulations because if you're not small enough and you had to eject, you wouldn't be able to escape.
I was actually too tall and too heavy to fly. I had to receive waivers for my height and my weight. The Air Force actually went back and checked the design specifications of the initial jet trainer that I flew the T-37 to see if I'd clear the tail if I were to eject out of that aircraft. So I had that going for me too.
All right, and what did they find out?
They found out that my instructor pilots would often brief that if we found ourselves in a controlled ejection situation, which in and of itself is an oxymoron, that we would roll the aircraft inverted and allow that extra G of the Earth's gravitational force to help pull me out of the plane. So that's the quick fix that our government comes up with, which is outstanding.
So you had a faith. Tell us, how did your faith help you through these challenges?
I think through the major challenges, I was always one where I had a faith, but I didn't in essence have the relationship piece. Where those missions that I flew in Iraq and Afghanistan, I would fly, every mission I'd fly across the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. I'd fly across, when I'd air refuel into northern Iraq, when I was in flying to Turkish airspace, I'd see Mount Ararat off in the distance. And I'd hear about Christians being persecuted for their faith in that region. And it had a profound impact on me that I began to work harder at my faith. But it was the illness of my son where I truly realized that I couldn't overcome his illness.
What was it?
He has an autoimmune illness where his body began to turn into attack itself. That was the only thing, either was through grades, was through business relationships or whatnot. I was always able to overcome any obstacle that was placed before me by my own strength and by my own ability. But it was my inability to overcome and to help my son is where I really found that I learned what the mercy and grace of God was, that I can't do it on my own, that I need Him as my Lord and my Savior, and that I need to surround myself with other men to accept me, to affirm me, and to hold me accountable.
Well, you wrote this book, gripping. Started reading, couldn't stop. Rules of Engagement, R-O-E. Where did you pick that up?
Rules of Engagement, when I would fly missions in combat or even training missions, we would fly under certain R-O-E, Rules of Engagement. But in the Air Force, they talked about this R-O-E being written in blood, because when someone would bust one of the R-O-E, it would typically cost them their life. And I thought, what a great visual picture for men, that when we bust one of the rules of engagement, God's biblical truths, universal truths, yeah, it costs us something.
You bet.
It can cost us relationships. It can cost us financially. It can cost us, you know, spiritually. So we need to know what these rules of engagement are. And I use a lot of military analogies, a lot of football analogies, and it's just something I noticed in your ministry too. You have a Band of Brothers Bible study. Men get it. Men get that masculine, strong military analogies that we are engaged in battles every day, and we need to surround ourselves with strong Christian relationships that as we fight these battles, we need to know what the ROE are, and that's what I talk about. My purpose, as all of our purpose, is to worship God and to make His name known, and that's what one of the ROE are.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
You, sir.
God loves you, so do I.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Nicole, wonderful.
Nicole Sponberg zong over de schepping. En dat is altijd een beetje een omstreden thema. Ik denk ook voor een aantal kijkers van Out of Power. Want een heleboel mensen geloven dat we afkomstig zijn ergens van de oerknal. Christenen geloven, en daar begint de Bijbel mee, in de schepping. En dat God de aarde en de hemel en de vissen en de dieren en de mensen heeft gemaakt. En dat is een thema met een onuitputtelijke bron van inspiratie. En geïnspireerd door dat thema, de schepping, zit hier Jan Kooistra, schilder uit Friesland. Jan, goedemorgen.
Goedemorgen.
Ja, ik zei het al, de schepping. Heel veel mensen denken van, ja, schepping, geloof ik niks van. Je hebt de schepping verbeeld in enorme schilderijen. Daar gaan we het zo over hebben. Maar eerst even, wat geloof jij van de schepping?
Ik denk dat je het zo kan zien. Ik geloof gewoon wat er in de Bijbel staat.
Ja. Maar heel veel mensen hebben daar moeite mee. Die zeggen van, God sprak en het was er. En dan schilder jij een prachtig schilderij. Ik heb ze gezien vorige week zaterdag bij het concert. Over het licht. Dat geloof je ook?
Ja, kijk, de wonderen zijn zo ongelooflijk groot in het leven. Dat dat toch onbegrijpelijk is. Dat is de schepping ook, maar dat is ook alles om ons heen. Hoe zitten mensen in elkaar, hoe zit de natuur in elkaar en alles. Het is onvoorstelbaar.
Onvoorstelbaar?
Ja.
En jij probeert dat voor te stellen op het doek?
Ja, ik merkte ook halverwege, zeg maar, het proces in het schilderen, dat ik de doeken die ik eerst erg groot vond, dat die steeds kleiner werden. Maar ik ook.
Ja?
Ja. Ik dacht, hoe heb ik het ooit kunnen bedenken om het wonder van de schepping op een doek vast te leggen?
Ja. Hoe heb je het bedacht? Waarom?
Het is zo groots. Ik bedacht dat het mooi zou zijn. Ik heb van God een mooi talent gekregen. En ik liep al jaren rond met de gedachte om God iets terug te geven. Ik denk, ik wil een soort een offer, een geschenk voor God maken. Ik wil een schilderij voor God maken. Niet voor mijn galerie of voor een opdrachtgever. Puur, dit is voor God. En hoe maak je nu een geschenk voor God, een schilderij voor God? En ik dacht, begin gewoon bij het begin. Ik ben zo'n natuurjongetje. Ik zat vroeger ook al altijd in de natuur en nu nog eigenlijk. En ik vind die schepping zo groot en zo mooi. Dus ik denk, daar ga ik schilderijen over maken. Want ik wist natuurlijk ook heel snel, het wordt niet één schilderij, maar het worden er zeven.
Laten we naar het eerste schilderij gaan kijken, Jan. Een monumentaal schilderij. Het hangt nog steeds in de Sint-Jan in Gouda. De primeur was voor onze bezoekers van het voorjaarsconcert. Maar hij blijft 3 maanden hangen. Dat schilderij, Er zij licht. Daar heb je bijzondere elementen in verwerkt. Vertel eens wat dan.
Ja, Het gaat natuurlijk over de schepping van hemel en aarde. Dit schilderij ging over de aarde vooral. En ik denk, ik wil daar materie in gaan gebruiken, niet alleen verf. Want ik heb er hele grote brokken op gezet. En ik denk, in die brokken en in die verf, want die verf natuurlijk, die kleuren, het zijn koninklijke kleuren, hè, om het eerste licht van God te ontvangen. Want als je ermee bezig bent, dan realiseer je dat het eerste licht van God zelf was. Want op de vierde dag wordt pas de zon en de maan gemaakt. Dus het eerste licht was van God zelf. Ook de volgende 2 dagen staan in het licht van God. En in dat schilderij wilde ik dus een materie gaan gebruiken die van de aarde zelf was. Mijn ouders hebben vroeger gewoond in een heel klein houten huisje in Wouterswoude. En toen kwam ik daar, toen waren ze aan het graven naar een wel, omdat het vrij hoog en droog was. En toen kwam er aarde boven. Oeraarde, zeg maar. Was door niemand aangeraakt. Ik denk, hé, dat wil ik in dat schilderij gaan gebruiken. Dat is misschien wel getuige geweest van het eerste licht van God. En toen ging een vriendin van ons ging naar Nieuw-Zeeland. En zij heeft ook aarde van vulkanische oorsprong meegenomen. Dus ook weer vanuit die aardbodem vandaan. En dat heb ik elkaar laten ontmoeten in dat schilderij. En dan heb je zo'n mooie Bijbelse uitdrukking. Hè? De uitersten van de aarde. En die ontmoeten elkaar daar. Dat zand van de andere kant van de aardbol en van hier.
Die eerste dag en dan het hele verhaal van de schepping op verf zetten. Hoe lang duurt dat?
Ik heb over de schilderij van de schepping heb ik precies 1 jaar gedaan.
1 jaar?
Ja. Ja.
Dag in dag uit?
Ja, sommige dagen niet, maar sommige dagen ook heel lang. Ja. En ik kan je ook wel vertellen dat het best soms heel lastig was, want ik ben natuurlijk een heel realistische schilder. En de schepping is zo groot. Dus je moet altijd keuzes gaan maken en bijna abstract denken. Want het is niet te vangen. Het is niet te vangen. Zo groot en zo mooi.
Het blijft toch iets ook wat je moeilijk kan begrijpen?
Ja.
Want waar zit God dan?
Ja.
En waarom in dat enorme heelal met die duizenden planeten en sterren en sterrenstelsels? Waarom die aarde? Kun jij daar een antwoord op geven?
Ergens in de psalmen staat, gewoon een oude berijming is, hier wijdt mijn ziel met een verwonderend oog. Nou, en zo moet je het ook zien. Ga gewoon met dat kleine jongetje vol verwondering kijken. Oh, is dat mooi.
We gaan naar je schilderij kijken over de vierde dag. Fascinerende dag. Zon, maan, sterren. En jij hebt dat geprobeerd te vertolken.
Bijzonder detail wat ik vind in het schilderij over de zon, maan en sterren, is dat ik daar iets in wilde gebruiken uit de ruimte zelf. Dus ik heb de sterrenwachter gebeld. En ik zei, ik wil eigenlijk een soort, soort meteoriet, gondriet of zo, wat uit de ruimte komt, wat ik door die verf kan malen, als het ware. Nou, dat was een hele zoektocht, maar uiteindelijk heb ik het via een verzamelaar heb ik het gekregen. En op een gegeven moment had ik dus een brok, een meteoriet had ik in handen. Zo oud en rechtstreeks uit de ruimte. En die heb ik dus in kleine partjes verdeeld. En met de vijzel van mijn huisarts heb ik gehaald, heb ik hem in hele kleine stukjes gemaakt. En dat zit in die verf van die zon, maan en sterren.
Geweldig. Ja. Ja, hoe kom je erop?
Ja. Het is trouwens opmerkelijk ook dat, dat de zon en de maan in het scheppingsverhaal niet wordt genoemd, met name niet. Het gaat over, en God schiep de twee grote lichten en de sterren. Het grote licht voor overdag en het kleine licht voor de nacht. En het heeft dan weer te maken met dat in de tijd dat is geschreven, de zon en de maan de afgoden ook waren. Hè? Bij de Egyptenaren ook Re en Ra. En daarom staat er ook de grote en de kleine lichten.
Geweldig. Ja. Hoe deed je iedere keer inspiratie op? Bijvoorbeeld voor de walvissen, voor de vogels?
Vooral door lezen. Ik heb heel veel vertalingen gelezen. En dan krijg je ook heel veel verschillende informaties. Ik heb veel de Narendse Bijbel heb ik veel gebruikt. Want er staan weer andere dingen in. Maar bijvoorbeeld ook het schilderij bijvoorbeeld over de schepping van de vogels en de vissen. De Statenvertaling, de oude Statenvertaling, die spreekt over en God schiep de grote walvissen. Hè? Zo mooi met SCH walvis. Maar dat kom je in geen enkele andere vertaling tegen. Het is meestal God schiep grote gedrochten. Alleen de herziene Statenvertaling, daar staat de walvis ook niet meer in.
Hey?
Nee. Dus dat is altijd heel bijzonder om te kijken van wat zegt die vertaling en wat zegt die vertaling.
We gaan naar de zesde dag. Toen schiep God Adam en Eva, Jan en Jan.
Prachtig. Prachtig, prachtig. De mens is kroon op de schepping, de rentmeester die op dit allemaal mag passen en beheren en zo. Ja, dat vind ik geweldig.
Probeer je dat ook tot uiting te brengen in dat schilderij?
Ja, ja, daarom staan die er ook, zeg maar, aan de onderkant, daaronder. En de mens vol aanbidding naar God toe, om daar zeg maar zijn wijsheid en zijn kracht vandaan te halen. Om ook die schepping te beheren. Bij de rustdag heb je en God rust en zag dat het goed was. Dat het zeer goed was, hein, staat er.
Ja.
Dus ik heb de opkomende zon geschilderd. Zeg maar als teken voor de volgende dagen. Daar staan de kleuren bij, de kleuren van de regenboog. Meteen ook de kleuren van de andere schilderijen, als teken voor de dagen. En daarin de witte duif. En die witte duif, die vertegenwoordigt de geest van God. In het begin staat de geest van God zweeft over het water. Nu zweeft er ook die geest van God, die ziet dat zijn schepping goed is, zeer goed is.
Ik vind het mooi dat je zei, ik wilde iets laten zien van de grootheid van God. Nou zul je mensen tegenkomen, want de schilderijen reizen door Nederland. Die zeggen, mooi geschilderd, maar ik geloof het niet. En wat zeg jij dan?
Ja, als je om je heen kijkt, er is zoveel wat niet te geloven is. Maar boven alles staat God. En God zegt het in zijn woord dat het zo is. En wie zijn wij dan om te zeggen dat het anders zou zijn?
Ja. Tot wanneer kunnen we de expositie zien in de Sint-Jan in Gouda, in het hart van deze prachtstad?
Tot 1 augustus.
En wat hoop je ermee te bereiken?
Dat mensen zeg maar met vol ontzag en bewondering naar de schepping kijken, maar ook vooral naar de schepper.
Jan, ik wil je hartelijk bedanken dat je hier vanmorgen was. Ik heb een prachtig boek voor je, want kunstenaars houden van mooie dingen. Het boek over de ontstaansgeschiedenis van de Crystal Cathedral, waar er zoveel om te doen is, overigens.
Ja.
Maar hier zie je de Crystal Cathedral bij avondlicht. Mooi, hè?
Ja,
zo,
prachtig.
Met die kleuren. Ja. Tower of Hope, de Toren van Hoop, de kerk zelf, het administratieve gebouw, kruis wat over heel Los Angeles te zien is. Ik hoop dat je er heel erg van zult genieten.
Schitterend, dankjewel.
Ja.
Mag ik je ook een boek teruggeven? Ik heb zelf over de schepping ook een boek gemaakt. Dat gaat over deze schilderij en over het hoe en het wat waarom ik het heb gedaan. Alsjeblieft.
Kijk, dat ziet er mooi uit. Oh, dat is een. Dat is prachtig. Wat een mooie kleuren, zeg.
Dankjewel.
Je bent echt een kunstenaar. Nou, we zullen op onze website laten zien hoe u aan dit boek kunt komen. Kijk op www.hourofpower.nl. En ook over de expositie in Gouda, die mede door Hour of Power mogelijk is gemaakt. Wij gaan terug naar de Crystal Cathedral. En daar wordt een prachtig lied instrumentaal vertolkt. This is my father's world. Dit is de wereld van mijn vader.
He's back to share his message series, The Dream Journey of Joseph, based on his new book, Put Your Dream to the Test. So let's give a warm welcome to John Maxwell.
Good morning. As we followed the dream journey of Joseph, we found that he has gone from a believer to a buyer in his dream. He truly owned his dream. Nobody gave it to him. Nobody took it from him. He bought into it. Joseph has also taught us that we can survive the surprise. Because in the dream journey, you and I, that we take, there will be all kind of difficulties and surprises that will come our way, things that we never did anticipate. And what Joseph teaches us in the journey there is, trust God. And then Joseph in his journey has taught us that that it's possible in this journey that bad things will happen to good people. And what do you do when wrong things happen to you, and how do you respond in a right way? And again, Joseph has taught us that it's the attitude. It's not what happens to me, it's what happens in me that really counts. And in this lesson, he's going to teach us, when we receive our dream, when you and I achieve what we have been going forward to achieve, he's going to teach all of us how to make the most of our dream. Now, this is the part of the dream we like, because now the dream has been realized. That's what we live for. That's what we work for. Aha, I have arrived. My dream is here. I have a book that just has come out called Put Your Dream to the Test. Now, listen to me very carefully before I teach this lesson. You need this book. In fact, look at your neighbor and say, you need to put your dream to the test. Tell them that right now. You need this. Because we want to reach our dreams. We want to realize our dreams. And what's wonderful if we, like Joseph in his journey, if we do the right things and we have the patience and the trust in God, there's a day when we realize our dream. And what happens when we realize our dream? A lot of times, it's not failures that mess us up, it's our success. And Joseph certainly went through a lot of difficulties, but now he's achieved his dream. He is second in command in Egypt. Basically, he has leadership authority for the entire country. He has now arrived to what, as a teenager, he had dreamed. So when you and I achieve our dreams, what do we do? How do we respond? Let me share with you how Joseph responded. Number one, when you've achieved your dream, be generous. Be generous. The reason that you've achieved the dream is not for you just to say, I have arrived, but you have achieved a dream to add value and help others. God will only give to you what he knows will flow through you. Be generous. Isn't it interesting, young Joseph as a teenager, when he had this dream of being a leader, he brought his brothers together and said, I had this dream of where I'm going to rule over you. No wonder they didn't like that dream. And Joseph was kind of befuddled because they didn't really care for him and they were jealous of him. But they didn't like the idea that Joseph was going to rule over them. Now that was the beginning in his immature teenage years. Now many years later, he has achieved this dream. And there is no hint at all of him wanting to lord it over or rule over his brothers. In fact, he's gone from, I'm going to rule over you, to I'm going to share with you. Wow, what a difference. I read right now just a couple of passages that kind of share with you the generosity of Joseph to his brothers. After he had met them and told them who he was and revealed himself to them, he said, hurry back to my father. Tell him your son Joseph says, I'm master of all of Egypt. Come as fast as you can and join me here, and I'll give you a place to live in Goshen where you'll be close to me. You, your children, your grandchildren, your flocks, your herds, and anything else that you can think of, I'll take care of you there completely. A couple chapters later, Joseph settled his father and brothers in Egypt and made them proud owners of choice land. And Joseph took good care of them, his father, his brothers, all of his father's family, right down to the smallest baby. He made sure that they had plenty of everything. Do you see the generous spirit of Joseph? Now that he has been incredibly blessed and he's arrived at the dream, the first thing he wants to do is he wants to bring his family and he wants to be generous and share with them what has happened. In my book, Put Your Dream to the Test, one of the questions I ask is the significance question. And the significance question just simply asks, does my dream benefit others? Does it benefit others? Are others blessed because I have achieved the God-given dream that he has placed within me? Now, to be generous takes a great deal of maturity. You have to be very secure to be generous. I have shared before that Margaret and I have five grandchildren, okay? And the two oldest grandchildren are cousins, Hannah and Maddie. They are 8, and then John is 5. He was named after me. He gets the inheritance. And then there's little Ella, who's 4, and then James, who is 2. Now, Hannah and Maddie, the cousins, when we lived in Atlanta, when they were about 5, when they would come to our house, they thought that God created me. They call me Papa. They thought that God created Papa to serve them. I mean, they truly believe that. And so when they would get up, they would already have their list, and they'd say, Papa, let's do this, and Papa, let's do that. And they would have their list, and since I am a grandparent, understanding my role is to spoil the grandchildren. That's exactly what I do. I serve them. And so they give me our list, and we go through it during the day, and we have a great time. And on their list, I promise you, on their list, every time is that they want to go out on the golf course. I live on a course, and they want to get in the golf cart, and they want to go out on the golf course, and they want to see the course. So about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we always do that, and we get on the golf cart. And by the time we're at the end of my driveway, Hannah and Maddie are already saying to me, Papa, Papa, we're hungry. We need a snack. Which means that I'm going to, between the 9th and 10th hole, we're going to go to the snack shop there, and we're going to get a snack. And we always get the very same thing. We all do. And sometimes they even let little brother John go along. So the three or four of us, we always get the very same thing. And that's a hot dog with ketchup, French fries, candy bar, potato chips, and a Diet Coke. I know what you're thinking. I understand. I can feel it already. You're saying, that is not a very nutritious meal. I know that. I don't care. I'm a grandparent. And we have our wonderful time together. And the only thing we do is we have a deal, and that is they can't tell their parents. There's something parents should not know. And so when they're having dinner and they're not hungry that night, the parents can never figure it out. Hannah and Maddie are looking at me and they're winking and going thumbs up and... Now, you see, these little five-year-olds, they're constantly saying, Papa, what can you do for me? What can you do for me? What can you do for me? How could you serve me? How can you make me happy? And that's okay, because you understand, they're 5 years old. And five-year-olds kind of just think of themselves. Is that not true? But it's sad when you're 35. And 45. And you haven't figured it out. That you and I are here to find our God-given dream and fulfill that God-given dream, and that dream will include blessing others. And so when you have your dream, whatever it is, be generous. Number two, be humble. If Joseph could walk into our service this morning and he could talk to us about the dream journey, he would say something like this. In the beginning of my dream, I did a lot of self-promotion. I promoted myself to my brothers. When I was in jail and I talked to the cupbearer who was going to get out and go back to Pharaoh's, I again said, hey, remember me. And I did self-promotion. I tried to help myself to get where I needed to be. But then Joseph would look at you and me and he would say to us, I discovered in my dream journey that divine promotion is greater than self-promotion. And that when I really was raised up, I was raised up not because of who I was or what I did, but I was raised up because God had given me this dream and God raised me up. In a culture that we live in that basically says God helps those who help themselves, and there is some truth in that. Joseph would say, God helps those who can't help themselves. He would say, you're over your head. And you need what I call, as I look throughout the Bible, the God factor. The God factor just very simply says and is the fact that in our journey of life, there are times when we're over our head and there are times when we're not going to be able to make it by ourselves. And God comes in and makes the difference for us. And what does that do? That causes us to have a real sense of humility. You see, humility is not denying the gifts we have, because we are gifted and God has gifted every one of you, and it's a wonderful thing. So humility isn't denying the gifts that you have, but it's choosing to give God the glory for those gifts. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph began to say, let me share with you that I can interpret the dream because of God. And this is what God has given to me, and let me pass it on to you. And four times, just in Genesis 39 alone, it says, and God was with Joseph and prospered whatever he did. The Apostle Paul understood this. For he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, when he said, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, there are three things that begin to stand out in those few short words. First of all, Paul said, I can. That just means that he had an attitude to win. He was an I can man. And then he said, I can do all things through Christ. You see, the Apostle Paul knew that Christ was his strength that allowed him to win. The Apostle Paul realized that without Christ, we can do nothing of eternal value, but with Christ, we can do some amazing things. It was the same Apostle Paul who said that our God is able to do exceeding abundantly, more than we can ask or more than we can ever think. Oh, that word exceeding abundantly is a very interesting phrase. In the Greek, the phrase is huper ek parasos. Parasos means to be full. When you put ek in front of parasos, it means to not only be full, but to kind of overflow. It's kind of like in the springtime when the streams are full and the rain's coming and it goes from parasos to ek parasos when they kind of go over the banks. And then when you put hooper in front of ek parasos, it means to flood the place. I mean, in Apostle Paul's time, we wouldn't have a Super Bowl. We'd have a hooper bowl. Let me illustrate this Greek lesson by this story. When I was a kid, my brother is 2 years older than I am, and our job every night was to do the dishes. That was one of our jobs. And because my brother was older than me, he and God felt that I should wash them. So my job was to wash the dishes, and I was a typical kid. I had this down because right outside of our kitchen was our basketball court, and I would turn the spigot onto a certain. I knew how to do this. Only kids do this. And I would turn it on to a certain area, and then I would run outside, and I'd pick up the basketball, and I would begin to shoot. And I had time. I had time for about five shots. And I would go back in, and I would turn off that faucet, and the water would be right at the top. That's parasos. There were times I would run outside after I had done that exercise, pick up the ball, shoot five times. The fifth time, the ball came right back to me. What was I to do? I would shoot it one more time, go inside, turn off that faucet. And the water was so high that when I put the first fork in, it went over the side. That's ek parasos. One day, I see the train a-coming. One day, I turned the faucet on just like always, went outside, and much to my joy and surprise, three of my buddies were out there, and they said, let's play a game. We quickly got our sides, and I can still remember the score of the game. We were ahead 8-6. When I heard my mother's voice, her saintly voice, come out of the kitchen. Ja! Oh, she had such a touch. Immediately I realized what had happened. I went into the kitchen, and of course, as soon as I got into the kitchen, you can guess. The water's all over the floor. We're the only kids on the block that have an indoor swimming pool, not on purpose. That's hooper ek parasos. The Apostle Paul says, my God wants to hooper ek parasos you on your dream journey. Be generous, because God says, I want you to know that I'm going to bless you more than you could ever imagine. That's exactly where Joseph was. But Joseph, in the midst of his blessing, was greatly humbled and said, I want you to understand, God has done all this in my life. So what is Joseph saying to us when we realize and reach our dream? He's saying, be generous, be humble, and thirdly, be grateful. Be very grateful for what God has done. In fact, as he gathered his brothers together, here are the words of a grateful Joseph. He told his brothers, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about that in this day I would be able to save many people." Joseph said, "Now that I look back on the journey, I just want you to know that you meant evil for me and a lot of bad things happened to me, but God made up all the difference." He was very grateful. In fact, he was so grateful that when he had his firstborn son, he called him Manasseh, which means to forget. For Joseph said, "God has made me forget all of my hardships and all of my difficulties at home." He named his second son Ephraim, which means double prosperity, saying, "God has prospered me in the land of my sorrow." You see how grateful he was? He said, I want you to know, I've forgotten all the difficult things I've gone through, and I just thank God for what he has done and how he has blessed me. I want to sum this lesson up on this dream journey of Joseph by this is gratitude that I just love, and I love this story, and I want to just read it to you in closing. It's about an immigrant shopkeeper whose son came to him one day complaining, "Dad, I don't understand how you run this store. You keep your accounts payable in a cigar box. Your accounts receivable are on the spindle. All your cash is in the register. You never know what your profits are." "Son, let me tell you something," answered his dad. "When I arrived in this land, all I owned was the pants I was wearing. Now your sister is an art teacher, your brother's a doctor, and you're a CPA. Your mother and I own a house and a car, and this is our little store. Add that all up and subtract the pants, and there's your profit." So as we close this series on the dream journey of Joseph, I want us to close this part of my lesson in this sermon by repeating together as a congregation, we have an attitude of gratitude. I want us in a moment to say it together. I want us to express it. You that watch the TV program, I want you to say it in your room. Just express it out loud. Let's let God know that we are grateful, and then every good and perfect gift comes from him. And after we say together as a congregation, we have an attitude of gratitude, I then want us to give God the applause for the great things he has done for all of us. Are you ready? Let's say it together. We have an attitude of gratitude. Let's thank God.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out and in your coming in your lying down and in your rising up, in your labor and in your leisure, in your laughter and in your tears, until you come and stand before Jesus in that day which for you there will be no sunset, only eternal light and life forevermore. Happy Sunday.
Elke zondag spreekt Hour of Power weer vele duizenden kijkers aan met een positieve en inspirerende boodschap. Dit kunnen we alleen doen dankzij de donateurs die ons trouw steunen. Jezus zei, de oogst is groot, maar arbeiders zijn er weinig. Hour of Power vindt het belangrijk dat Gods liefde wordt verkondigd. Daarom hebben wij voor u wekelijks een inspirerende spreker. Zonder arbeiders geen oogst, zonder donateurs geen uitzending. Voelt u zich thuis bij Hour of Power en wilt u dat Hour of Power iedere week op de televisie te zien blijft? Zou u dan ook donateur willen worden? Wij verwelkomen u graag in onze kring. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Als welkomstgeschenk sturen wij u de DVD-box Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? Deze gloednieuwe DVD-box bevat 4 preken van John Maxwell vanuit de Crystal Cathedral over het thema dromen. Donateur worden kan via www.hourofpower.nl of vraag informatie aan via 035 538 0588. Alvast hartelijk dank. Ook het nieuwe boek van John Maxwell, Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden, kan vanaf nu besteld worden bij Hour of Power.
En zo besloten we de serie van dominee John Maxwell over de dromen van Jozef. En u zag het net al, als u donateur bent en in de afgelopen weken zijn veel kijkers donateur geworden, waarvoor we iedereen hartelijk danken en zeer erkentelijk zijn. Want alleen dankzij u zijn onze uitzendingen mogelijk. Dominee John Maxwell heeft ook een boek geschreven, Kan jouw droom werkelijkheid worden? En dat geeft praktische handreikingen in het ontwikkelen van je droom. Wij gaan afscheid nemen, en niet voor lang, want we hopen er volgende week weer te zijn. Dan is het moederdag en dan is onze speciale gasten Maya Middendorp. U kent haar allemaal wel als de schoonmaaklady van Nederland. Maar dat er heel veel in het leven van Maya is gebeurd, is niet zo bekend. En daar wil ze graag over vertellen. Iedereen een heel goede zondag toegewenst. Een fijne week en we hopen tot volgende week zondag.
I woke up today in a place where I feel frightened, just like every other day. Maybe one day someone will keep me safe. Today we don't have much hope, but maybe someday we will. There are thousands more just like me and my brother. Please, don't leave us on the waiting list forever.
He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me
Today, we don't have much hope, but maybe someday we will. Please, don't leave us on the waiting list forever.